courtside on the virtual hardwood, it's the NLSC podcast, episode number 264. I'm Andrew with you once again. I'm joined this week by Ben, also known in the forum as Arcane.
Hey everyone, it's good to be back.
Yes indeed, it's been quite a while. We've had a few people asking about where the show is, Ben, because it's been over a month. It's been quite some time since we've had such a hiatus from the NLSC podcast, so it is definitely good to be back on the air.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, normally, you know, when we've had the hiatus, it's sort of during quiet times, not right at the beginning when the games have launched.
Not at launch. No, it's not been one of our better timings in that regard. I guess we should probably explain it a little bit to our listeners. We have had some very nice messages, again, asking where the show is, whether it's still going, and saying that they miss us, that they enjoy the show, that they think we should be the ones calling the NBA Finals. Not so much that last one, actually, to be completely honest, but certainly some... But some messages asking about the podcast, which is always nice to hear that people are interested in the show and enjoy it. We certainly love hearing that feedback. Feel free to leave us a review on iTunes and other such apps if you'd like to support the show. But yes, thank you very much for asking about it. I'll be honest, I've been feeling a bit of burnout with the podcast. We've been doing it for 5 or 6 years now, Ben, actually. I think we're in our sixth season.
Yeah, it's gone on a fair while. I mean, I can understand, you know, there'll be a couple of times, especially, you know, when we've had the long preview season or it's just that very quiet period, you know, it's like, you know, it's that feeling of like, do we really need to do a show this week, you know? So, yeah, I can understand the break in terms of that. I've also had some personal stuff happen in terms with some friends and almost family and that. So, yeah, it's never fun.
Yeah, there's been some personal issues. There's been scheduling issues. It's been hard to get together and put together a time to get together and record, get on Skype and record the show. Miscommunications there and job stuff, personal stuff, and certainly with the podcast, I will admit to a feeling a bit of burnout. I mean, I obviously create a lot of content for the NLSC and have done for many years now, so I was feeling a bit burned out on the show, and I also wanted to do the best I can with the podcast, just as I do with all of the features we do for the NLSC, and I felt that I didn't really have the energy to put into the show, to be honest, which is why I guess I, as you know, I haven't been pushing that hard to record until we started getting the messages asking us, hey, where's the show? And that kind of stoked the flames, Ben. It made me feel, you know, proud of what we do with the podcast and made me realize that, yeah, I do enjoy doing it and I want to do more and people want it, so I guess here we are.
Yeah, I mean, I know you do so much for the site, you know, with the multiple articles and stuff like that. So, yeah, like I said, I can understand you needing a break from it. I admit I need a little break, and again, with some stuff that happened for both of us, and you know, we wanted to try and do more and try and get other people on as well. You know, it's just a bit tricky at times and that. So, you know, trying to keep it fresh and not feel the same and not, I suppose, just us what might be considered like harping down on like one game and all that stuff, or you know, just negative in that. So, yeah, I think hopefully this break has done us some good and, you know, revitalized us in terms of bringing new energy back to doing the podcast. And, you know, hopefully we can get some more people on as well. Just to vary it up a little bit more as well. And yeah, especially coming up to like Christmas, New Year break and all that stuff. So, yeah.
I'd definitely like to continue to freshen up the podcast. If we can get some more guests, that would be great. I mean, we had some grand plans about getting some of the guys from EA on the show this year. Unfortunately, it fell through. I mean, as we've said before, there's been changeover in the community manager and all that situation where we kind of have to ingratiate ourselves with that. And I mean, I don't want to get into the whole situation, but obviously we're disappointed that we couldn't set up some interviews, but they didn't really do a lot of interviews this year, so that kind of makes me feel a bit better, actually, after missing out, after we've had some great interviews in the past. But nevertheless, you know, we do want to set up some more interviews. I do have some great ideas there. Love to get some more community people on the show, actually, and talk to other people in the community. So we definitely have ideas, and over the coming weeks and months that we do the podcast, we might freshen things up a little bit, changing the format around a little bit, experiment a bit. But hopefully everyone enjoys that, that everyone's along for the ride. And still going to be us. It's still going to be us talking about basketball video games, NBA Live, NBA 2K, NBA Playgrounds, basketball classics, a little bit of retro gaming, of course, as well. But it'll still be us talking about games and a little bit of real basketball as well. So, yeah, I think people, as long as they aren't sick of our voices by now, Ben, I think they're hopefully going to enjoy what we have now that we're revitalized, coming off the bench, coming back into the game. We're, Michael Jordan coming out of retirement. That may be a bit too... that may be selling ourselves a bit too much.
Coming back from injury.
That'll do. Yeah, that's Michael Jordan in the second season, coming back from the broken foot. But might be a little bit more accurate. But nevertheless, we are back. Episode number 200 and Nintendo 64. A couple of decent basketball games back on the 64, Ben. You didn't have a 64, did you?
No, I had the Sega Master System 2, or Mega Drive 2, sorry.
Mega Drive 2, yeah.
What else did I have around that time?
That would have been original PlayStation around the 64.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, I had PlayStation 1 at that and around that period. So, yeah. I did rent from the video store Super Nintendo a couple of times. I remember renting one of those for a couple of weeks every now and then.
I mean, that was the big thing back in the day, renting consoles as well as console games. Just
You know, from your like Go Video or Blockbuster or and a few others like that. So
we can mention these companies because they no longer exist. What a throwback! No, Nintendo 64 had, of course, NBA Hang Time by Midway, the follow-up to Jam, because of course they lost the Jam name to Acclaim, who did the home ports for NBA Jam, and then they just managed to steal a name out from under them and made a bunch of subpar games. There's a book about NBA Jam coming out. We connected with them on Twitter, actually, and looking forward to that, some interesting history about that. And, of course, NBA Hang Time was a fine game in its day, and Kobe Bryant in NBA Courtside. Now, there's a game. I've done that one for Way Back Wednesday. That's an interesting game to look back at, especially one of the few games where you can hang on the rim and get a technical.
I think that was one of the first games Mike Wayne worked on.
Was it that one, or was it the NBA Action, NBA Fast Break?
No, I think it was the Kobe Bryant hang. I think it was the Kobe Bryant one.
I have to look into that, but certainly, yeah, there's a lot of names that have been around in the community for a long time, and that was a pretty good game. Like I say, you could actually hang on the rim, get a technical. There's no real advantage to doing that, but it was just cool to do, so you gave it the point because you just wanted to dunk and hang on and just embarrass the opponent, so you did it anyway. But, of course, we have come a long way since the Nintendo 64, which I was playing 20 years ago, which is a scary thing to think about. These days, obviously playing on PC and PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, Switch as well, not really my thing. I would like to try out the new Zelda, but I can't afford two consoles this generation. Unless, of course, one of our loyal listeners wants to contribute to a Switch fund for me. But nevertheless, we are playing on the current generation of consoles. We have not one, not two, but three games out now. While we were on our break, NBA 2K Playgrounds 2, still a bit of an awkward name, I have to say, that came out on October 16th, my 34th birthday this year, as it happens. And, of course, NBA Live 19 and NBA 2K19 launched over a month ago now, I guess about 6 weeks.
It's
because we missed the entirety of October with the podcasts, and the last show we did was Kenny and I giving our impressions on NBA Live 19 and NBA 2K19, our initial impressions, and since then, of course, we've had a bunch of patches, and it's been good to see. You know, we've grumbled about patches before, but Live in particular, they've been very quick on pushing through the updates when there's been issues, and multiple patches in a week sometimes with hot fixes as well, which has been good. And fortunately, they haven't all been 5 or 6 gigs, although now I'm on NBN, I don't even think about the size of patches anymore, to be honest. You know, I got hit by that bug with the Fallout 76 beta, where they deleted it, and like, I'm on NBN with unlimited now, so yeah, sure, 50 gigabyte download, whatever, and just let it go. what freedom. But back to basketball games. Yes, lots of updates, Ben, for Live 19 and a few for 2K19 so far, and it's a few things have been addressed, some big things on the Live front. Something that I didn't expect, much like last year's roster update, roster editing update, I should say, was the ability to edit players in franchise mode. That's big, because that, again, another thing that was missing at launch that we ended up getting without having to wait a year. I was really pleased to see that.
Yeah, I mean, that was a huge surprise. Like, again, like when they added, like, create a player and that, like, and then the fact too that you're a creative player, you know, you can practice on your creative court and that. So, you know, it's a good way to sort of get used to playing your players, earn them in Live 18, even trying to play with some creative players that you couldn't do, like going to the practice gym and shoot around and that with that creative player, which kind of sucked. But, you know, this is a way, a good thing, a good way around it. And again, just sort of, yeah, play around with your player, get used to shot timing, get used to the types of animations and dunks or layups and stuff you can do, dribble stuff, moves and all that. So yeah, but yeah, definitely the edit player in franchise mode was definitely needed, and yeah, glad that they added in and really early into the to a release too, which again I think surprised everyone.
That was within a month. That was patch 107 that added the edit player in franchise, and as you said, the ability to shoot around on your one court with your the one player, which, again, I mean, that's been one of the big things. It's a subtle thing, I guess, these days with the whole neighborhood in 2K, but the whole My Court hub, as it was back in the day, and of course we still have My Court in 2K19, you just have to go to it, much like last year, which is a whole other story, which we can talk about a bit later on, as I'm sure we'll catch on as I continue to grumble about 2K's neighborhood. Anyway, but the whole thing with My Court was that you could just hang out there on your court and shoot around with your player and get used to your jump shot and practice the mechanics and everything and get used to your animations, as you said. And we've wanted to see that in live for the last few years, and they've added that. So there was a few teething problems at first where the faces weren't showing up, and then it was loading, I think, the wrong players. Now, I'm still not sure whether my player actually has the right abilities, because I can't dunk in-game, and yet my player dunks on my court. And I'll have to double-check the shooting animation, because it looks a bit wonky as well. I'm not sure if it's the same one, or I may just not be used to shooting around from that angle when I'm playing. So I may not be... I may be imagining things. But there were some issues, but they have been resolved. I think patch 108 or 109 fixed that. They were pretty quick on getting onto that. And there were some issues with Jeremy Lin was wearing his warm-ups on the court when he was playing. So there have been some issues with some of the live patches, but they've been pretty quick about pushing through new rosters and fixed updates, hot fixes with the patches. A lot of the title updates have actually really been content updates, adding new things to the store. That, in fact, 1.12 that came out this week is basically just new store content. But and the same with 111, but there's also been some tweaks to the gameplay. They've been tuning inside shots.
Face added to players.
A lot of faces, new commentary coming through, of course.
Kelsey Plum in particular, I think that was a big one. I think that one may have been in 107 or one of those ones. So yeah, because I was remember playing the night before, and I was like, oh, I wonder. I would have kind of been wondering for about a week. I was like, I wonder when they're going to update her face and all that stuff, because she didn't quite look like herself.
That,
and then all of a sudden, and then they did, and I was like, really happy, because yeah, she's one of my players on my court battle.
Yes. So they've been pushing through a lot of NBA and WNBA players, which has been great to see. Changing. Some adding some rules to private lobby run, private lobbies for a live run. Rules pop has been added to the prior to the tip off in World Tour. They've had a lot of new animations, including current and NBA legends, Bernard King, Mario Stoudemire, Drazen Petrovic, Isaiah Thomas, the Isaiah Thomas from the 80s, not the current Isaiah Thomas in the NBA, Steve Nash, Patrick Ewing, Wilt Chamberlain. And, of course, Spencer Dinwiddie, Jared Dudley, Kenneth Fareed, Shabazz Napier. So, again, current and former NBA players. I mean, pushing through new animations. Some of the existing jumpers. They've got... they've changed Lonzo Ball, because he's changed up his release this year. So they're all on top of things like that. More signature dunks. They've been tuning interceptions. Inside shots, as I said. Dribbling moves. Based on a lot of feedback. So they've really been putting in a lot of work. And the game has continued to get a lot better since release.
Yeah. It also helps with adding, obviously, commentary. Like, they've added a couple of thousand lines. Like, I think the two patches that they had, I think the first one added, like, 17,000 or 1,700 commentary samples, and then 107 added nearly 2,500.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's some good additions there over the last month. And what else was there?
They've smoothed out passing a little bit. It's still not as good as it could be, but it has gotten better.
They've added the visualization court for the 3-on-3.
Mm-hmm.
So that's that court where, you know, where you're playing with Iverson, Shaq, and Vince Carter. And when you say you get to determine what kind of player you want to be, which is, I suppose, the one that they were taking all those quality screenshots from.
Yes, yes. And it's nice to have that pretty cool atmosphere to add to that.
Playing on that court. I like playing on that one.
They've rebalanced some of the traits for the one players and other players as well. But something that I've really noticed them do as of the latest couple of updates is really change the CPU play for Play Now and Franchise, basically. There's a lot more... they've eventually got in the patch notes for 107 about fixing the spacing issues with motion offense. You do see better spacing. You see the CPU actually doing drive and dish and you know, taking advantage of the open three a lot more, whereas they just try and push it in for the contested layup more often out of the box. So you're actually seeing more NBA gameplay. The NBA gameplay, and we've talked about this many times before on the NLC podcast, that we want to see the NBA side of things be just as good as the league and Ultimate Team and the one and the streets and everything. But they've really improved that side of things where the traditional 5-on-5 gameplay, the CPU is just doing more strategic things and doing things, again, like drive and dish and spacing the floor better and taking mid-range jump shots. Like, I was playing the Warriors, and I had Durant pulling up for mid-range jump shots and Curry stepping back for threes and, like, more realistic strategy and players playing like themselves. And that is just so important because that really gives the game its realism and it gives it its heart of the gameplay, basically, and that depth of gameplay that 2K has had for many years and that Live has lacked. So I'm just so happy to see the patches have an impact in that regard.
Yeah, I'm the same and happy to see a lot of improvement go into it. I still think there's a couple of things that they could work on. I've noticed...
Agreed.
I think it may have been after... We'll say from at least patch 109, maybe 110, in a couple of instances where when trying to back down into the key and it actually goes more towards the sideline. The player actually dribbles, you know, backwards to the side to the sideline, which has happened probably about 4 times. I think a couple of instances too where you can actually get stuck in the key, your player will just like stop moving, like he'll raise his hands and things like that, but he can't actually physically move around, like move his feet in that, and you
sounds
get
familiar,
for 3
yeah.
seconds. Yeah, that's happened a few times as well. I found an exploit where you could essentially trap the big guy just simply by double teeing him in the key for 5 seconds back to the basket violation.
Oh, right, yep.
Like, I was playing the other day against the 76ers, and I did it about 4 or 5 times with Embiid where I managed to get him to turn it over just sort of double teaming and trying to essentially potentially block what could be a shot. And yeah, he just basically kept dribbling back to the basket. I think, too, a couple instances in like the last minute of the game, just the instance where the AI doesn't really react, where they, you know, you're in within the margin of error where if, you know, if you get a stop, you could actually still...
you get a chance to win, basically.
Yeah, they just let the opposing team just dribble it out, and you have to commit the foul. I think that needs to be addressed still.
Late game AI, this generation for Live, I mean, Live has been on a long road back, but I mean, even from Live 14, we've been noticing those issues where the CPU just dribbles out the clock or dribbles out the whole shot clock and gets a shot clock violation in crunch time, especially. And, like, I mean, it's great. It helps you preserve a win, but you... feels kind of cheap too, because you feel like, yeah, well, I didn't really stop them as such as they just forgot how to play basketball for 24 seconds. It's just,
yeah, it's frustrating when you're on the losing end.
Oh, yeah, and, yeah.
And, you know, if you're on your fifth foul or something like that, because I admit, like, sometimes playing the street elements and all that stuff, or the more package or pro-ammy sort of modes, you know, there's not too much of a subsequent, like, or too much of a penalty going in for a steal and that, and sometimes you get into that mentality.
And yeah, then you're suddenly on five fouls. I know what you mean, yeah.
But even sometimes, like, I think too, like, having the defensive assist button and then having the right stick up will like, trigger a foul automatically, even though you haven't actually really pushed the button to, like, attempt to steal.
There's still some sucking into animations.
Yeah. I think that those, for me, I think if Live can improve those few things that I've just mentioned, the game will be, like, far better from than, you know, what will be a lot better than what I was hoping for in terms of what expectations of where the game would be at. So if they can fix that, that'll be a great bonus right there.
And it's been fun again this year. Last year was fun, even though the game was flawed, noticeably flawed, but was showing a lot of promise. At launch, it showed a lot of promise. Demo was showing promise. But, again, these patches have really helped the game come through. And I commend the developers for listening to the feedback. I commend the community for providing the feedback. I'm currently wanting to compile a list of other things that we'd like to see, because there's been some great feedback so far, but there's also more things that we need to do. I know they're checking out Reddit a lot these days, so I'm going to compile it and post it over there. I do have an NLSC Reddit account for us to post under there, to contribute there, so I can do that. I'll be posting that in the forum. Check out the NBA Live 19 section for more on that in the forum. Whatever you want to contribute, I will pass along to the developers and tweet it at them, of course, from the NLSC Twitter. Obviously, gameplay is pretty good. Game modes, a lot of the game mode stuff is going to be next year stuff. I mean, we got the edit player in franchise. That was huge. Don't get me wrong. I don't think there's going to be a lot. Maybe a little bit of tweaking. We can certainly pass along feedback. As far as things that they might be able to patch in, I was thinking of what else I'd like to see that might be feasible. And I'm thinking content-wise, I'd love to see them add more retro jerseys, not just the retro jerseys that are being worn on the special nights this year, but like NBA 2K has, like a full selection of retro jerseys. I miss having that in the game. You know, just that that extra content. Roster sharing, of course. I mean, that's might be hard, but it would be something I'd love to see. There's something else that I would. The ability to trade players in the roster editing, because we can assign players, but we can't trade them outside of franchise mode. I mean, you can move them around using the assign function, but you can only assign them one at a time instead of trading for them, and that's a bit cumbersome. So, yeah, that's basically what I'd add. Anything else come to mind for you?
I think still just fine-tuning some animations, like just that balance of user input and control and some delay input. Like, I think sometimes, you know, you could go for a rebound. You push the button like a few seconds earlier, but it still registers like 2 seconds later once you get the ball passed to you, kind of stuff.
The input lag, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I know what you mean, yep.
So I think some improvements there. And just, yeah, like the animations that are sort of taking you out of control for no reason in that sense. Like,
yep.
And a lot of that, some of that has to do with like the steal where you suddenly lunge for it, even if you haven't used the left stick or even a turbo button or sprint button and that. You know, I think, or if you button mash it, you know, sometimes you just do that lunge steal where you end up running like 5 meters in a totally different direction that you want to.
Yep, definitely over committing to the steal on that one.
Yeah, I think that one needs to be more like a penalty, like basically uses as a penalty if you button mash or if you are trying to sprint. Yeah, I think that's when it. But if you're standing still, I think more of a standing swipe is appropriate in that case. And if you only just, again, press it once. So I think some balance and some stuff there.
Definitely.
trying to think what else. Just a couple of little quirky passes where the players are facing one way and the ball kind of just magically whoops. I think a little bit of improvement there.
But both this year, both Live and 2K do seem to have this issue where it feels a bit canned with some of the turnovers because the animation selection makes it look really makes it obvious that it's a canned turnover. Basically, like they'll run behind your teammate, would just suddenly run behind a defender so that he gets intercepted, and you'd kind of wish like, I wish it would just go right. And they have added some more passes that just go out of bounds without touching anyone. So. I as frustrating as it is, that's also realistic, so I do kind of like it. The other thing that I do like that should be mentioned is that they've changed some of the they've taken out some of the hype requirements for buying store items for gear, which I think is a good idea. I mean, that's been one of the things that's been frustrating on the whole Road to 99 issue in 2K, having to get to a certain level to unlock things and also spending VC on it as well. That's another issue. But things like, well, 2K's big one was that you had to get to, I think, 91 overall last year to get D'Angelo Russell's Ice in My Veins celebration.
Yeah, he wasn't even rated that high.
He wasn't even rated that high, yeah. So it was kind of silly. And it just makes it a bit more accessible. And you've still got to level up to certain level of court hype and league hype and streets hype and everything to get certain items, which is fair enough. It's a progression system. And Live has a very good progression system. I like the way they've done it, especially with the hype system. And of course, shout out to, there's already people that have met, including our friend Izzy Snow, who's actually got I think he was the first to, which was the court hype, court battles hype. He was the first to get to the legend status for that. So shout out to Izzy for that.
Or icon status.
Icon status, that's right. So there's been people doing the grind and really enjoying it. And I got to admit, court battles are pretty fun.
Yeah, I've had a lot of fun games playing that.
Have you taken my court yet?
I don't know if I've taken yours, but I've taken a lot of people's courts. I've only lost a couple of games.
Because during one of the campaigns, I took yours as all. That's why I mentioned it.
Oh, okay.
I don't think you'd gotten into the mode yet, so I just went ahead and took it. So.
Okay. You got to get
me back now. So.
Yep. I know I had one person take my court, and I've had to fight it back and get it back, which I did, because that was when I was offline, so... I think I gotta find a way to do it, like take on the friends. So I gotta do that because I'm usually just going against other people online.
Yeah, there's an option to select in court battles. You can select people on your friends list and go against them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which one of my courts did you take? Did you take the Katie Snaked or Arcane or the Brisbane court?
I think it might have been the Arcane one. It was before that. I think it was before you were really getting into it because you said you hadn't played yet or something, or hadn't played much. So
okay, all right.
So yeah, so that's the taking on friends. I was just grinding one. I was just grinding one night to get my hype up, basically. So it was like, who hasn't really put together a good team yet? Because I haven't got a deep team yet. So I'm like, who hasn't? Like, okay, you're about in my rating, so I'll give that a go. But
I've got a pretty decent team right now. Let's see, I got Rudy Gobert, I got Serge Ibaka, myself, Gordon Hayward, and Kyle Lowry, and pretty much I think it's Rudy Gobert who's my lowest rated player of 80.
That's very nice, yeah. No, I definitely need to get some more players. I haven't been grinding enough for the... for players yet, so I'm going with revealing my weakness here of my home team. So I'm sure you can take it, but yeah, it's one of those things where I thought, I'm probably not going to enjoy it that much. I'll give it a look, but no, I'd still kind of prefer franchise and Ultimate Team really, and even the league. But no, I like it. I do like the concept. I think they're onto a winning idea there.
Yeah, and I like the fact that it's so varied as well.
And you don't
know until you get in, and so sometimes the game's more suited to a shooting team and other times it's more suited to a low post or a team that can drive and cut to the basket or a dunking team and stuff like that. So yeah, it's interesting. I've had some good comebacks as well.
The 4-point dunks are good for that.
Yeah, well, I think that was a game yesterday that I played And it wasn't one of those ones where, 5 points per such and such, I think, from memory. I did capture it, but ended up winning like 40-4.
Oh, very nice, yeah.
It's just, I think it was like end of the, because it was one of the 3 minute halves.
Ah, yes.
And the guy was like one of seven, I think, or one of nine, and I was five of six or something like that. Actually, it must have been one of those ones where, it must have been one of those ones where, a block or, a rebound and an assist and that can add points.
Add
'Cause,
points to the total, yeah. Yeah, you can really boost your score if you're doing it under those rules. But like you say, it changes up the game, and it's something different. And I think Live should innovate in that sense. And I do want to see, again, franchise get better, Ultimate Team get deeper, all that stuff, and even the league seeing that get a bit deeper as well. But this is a very innovative idea for Live. I it's appealing to me more than I thought it would, which I think is great. So. It's. I can definitely see myself playing more. I don't think I'll necessarily get to icon status with it. We shall see. Depends how it hooks me. But yeah, I did have a session where I did play enough games to go up a couple of levels of hype. Just grinding and playing a few games, and just was one of those nights where you're like, yeah, just one more game, just one more game. And because they can be over very quickly, and that is the benefit of it. Much like some of the original Pro-Am in Live, and even like the playground in 2K, while we have our issues with that, with Gotnext and everything, those quick games, if something does go wrong, you're not really that upset. You just pick yourself up and goes back into it, where sometimes the longer games, you get more frustrated. So, no, I think it's a great idea.
I remember I was actually playing one of the 3-on-3 games, like just not in the core battles, but obviously the
Live run.
live run,
Yep.
and yeah, had this played this game with two other people, and this one guy in particular was like Borg, and I was like, all right. So the second game, I was tempted just to sort of throw away the game, like just to piss him off.
Yeah.
Just for ball hogging it, because I think we ended up nearly winning it in the end. Like there was a couple of players was like, oh, maybe I won't throw it away, but yeah, it was frustrating when when you try and be helpful. And the other person, it was a female player as well in this case. She got annoyed with after that first game, and she ended up leaving. And I was like, all right, so. Just because I tried passing it to her to try and get to do something, so that way she could have a few shots. So yeah.
I mean, that's the big thing in online, isn't it? When you're the random, and if you're not really getting shots, you sort of get a bit, you get a bit miffed, and then when you get the ball, you start to hog it a bit, which is why it's never as good playing with randoms, because you end up, someone's not happy about the touches or whatever, and they just go wild when they finally do get the ball. So you're kind of like, well, you're not touching the ball again, are you? So that's enough for you. It's freeze out.
I remember we've done that a couple of times in 2K.
Walk
Like,
on, yeah.
well, we just sort of I see the other guy just because they're being jerks or selfish.
I'll come back to it when we talk about 2K19, because it happened in the Jordan Rec Center to us, and we had a really good teammate and a really bad teammate, and the really bad teammate, and you feel bad, and you give them a few, pass them the ball, because it's the four of us, we all know each other, they're the random, so you're like, oh, try and include you as much as you can, but there was a reason that we stopped passing to him, because but yeah, no, so you've been playing a few different modes?
I've got to go more into the actual NBA side of things. I have sort of been playing a little bit of my like the league part in, but I'm thinking because of the when I started it, the rosters aren't up to date. So like Wade isn't on Miami and that, just a few other players are sort of. So I'm thinking of creating the second player for that aspect of it. So the player that I'm running is probably going to be more just the street mode elements.
Yeah.
And then, for when I want to focus on the sort of career story part, I guess, it'll be more the up-to-date rosters and that.
See, so, I'd do that, but I was one rebound shy of a triple-double in my debut, so I kind of want to stick to this player that I've got at the moment. So.
I actually demanded a trade yesterday. Just had 5 losses in a row with the Hornets. I'm like, yep, no, demand a trade.
Yep.
But again, I demanded a trade to Miami, but again, Wade's not on there, and it's like kind of part of the reason, and I was like, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Start again.
But, yeah, but I'll play a few more games in the league in that aspect just to boost up my player to, you know, the 99, because I'm at a level 90 now, rated 90 now.
Very nice.
So, yeah, just a few more. A few more skill points just to upgrade and that. I'll create my other player. I'll probably go more like the Vince Carter sort of style in this one because I've gone the Scottie Pippen one for this one.
Second player I create is going to be a dunker because I miss dunking in basketball games.
Yes.
It's been a few years with archetypes where I can't throw it down and I miss it. But
I think a Vince player or even a Westbrook, like for me, the Vince opportunity also gives you ability for threes.
Yes, yes. So you've got that inside out, outside game, yeah. No, absolutely. And the great thing about live is, of course, that starting over isn't very painful because you start out a fairly decently rated player across the board.
Yeah, so and a lot of, if you know, the traits and all that stuff, if they cross over, if they match up as well. So, I know that it was the case last year. Still got it. I think it might be the case this year as well. I don't imagine there'd be something that they changed. Like, yeah. So
it's a good system. Yeah, they've got a pretty good system.
And again, you don't have to pay money into it, which I love.
Fingers crossed it stays that way, because it's definitely one of the things that Live has over 2K right now and for the last couple of years. So fingers crossed, absolutely. Speaking of NBA 2K, you still haven't picked it up yet. Do you think anything could sway you to get it at this point, or do you think you're going to end up sitting out the year as Kenny did last year?
There are times where it's like... And it has a lot, again, to do with the creation stuff, but also, you know, playing online with you guys.
Mm, yeah.
If I'm going to get it, it's going to have to wait till the new year, because in a few weeks I'm about to go down to Victoria for basically until the new year. So, there'd be no point buying it now. If I was to pick up a game in the next week or so, it probably would be Spider-Man first, but
right, not Red Dead.
Every time
I see people use the hashtag with the initials, I think they're saying R2D2.
Yeah, yeah, it gets like that. I kind of want to get it as well, but again, at the moment, and part of the reason why I haven't gotten also 2K is I'm not liking the direction that Zilnick, I think his name is taking 2K, where it's just all about the monetization factor, how much money. So I'm kind of off the 2K games for the moment because of that, and that's again part of the reason why I haven't bought Playgrounds at this point as well. It seems to be more a pay to win sort of style game for my liking.
And we'll get to that a bit later in the show too, but yeah, there's definitely stuff in those there mechanics that I wasn't very happy to see, and it was not as bad as I feared, but at the same time, it's worse than it should be. So that's my teaser for the future mini review in this episode. I totally understand. You know, I obviously creating the content that I do get it every year, bit of a completionist in that regard. Anyway, I've been holding out on spending money on it. I do have a JB Hi-Fi gift card that I got for my birthday that I'm... If I can't think of anything else and I'm really struggling to upgrade, I might use that to get the VC because you can get it in store.
Yeah, I've seen the cards for that.
Maybe, possibly, I'll see. But there's been so many people that have had problems with purchased VC as well, disappearing and whatnot, and wanting to make sure that this is the right build that I want to stick with. It's been okay so far. It has been better than last year. I do like it better. It is probably the game we should have received last year. There are still issues with it. you do get VC a little bit easier, but at the same time, upgrades and everything are perhaps a little slightly more expensive as well. So it hasn't really made as much of an impact as you might think. There's still a lot of grinding, still forcing you in the direction of VC purchases. They have been doing some great work with the patches, though. There hasn't been as many compared to Live, although Live's been pushing through a lot of patches that are just content updates. I say just content updates, you know, perhaps not to everyone's liking, but in any case, 2K has been doing some significant patches, 103, 104, and 105, all contain a decent amount of fixes. 103 and 104 were the bigger ones. 105, the most recent one that came out, well, this week, actually. As you noted, one gameplay improvement improved the logic and visuals of pulling the chair in the post.
Yeah. That, for me, was a bit disappointing. Like, I've heard some of the gripes, and, you know, especially with the pro-am stuff, you know, with matchmaking and, you know, the fact that you still require five people, even though it might not always be possible.
And I wrote an article about that recently, basically calling it gatekeeping. And I think it is, because I get that they're wanting to push it more towards the league where you've got five users, but that's not always feasible for your home users and your more casual players, and it's locking your casual players out. And I say casual, I mean, there's a couple of different ways you can use the word casual here. I mean, we're not casuals in the respect that we get basketball games every single year and we're very experienced with them, but as far as our online... And we are competitive when we play online, which is why it bothers us so much when something goes wrong. Yep. But we're not, you know, we're not looking to make the league. We're not looking to become esports... esports athletes, esports competitors.
That's so weird to say.
yeah. The word athlete came to mind and then quickly disappeared. You know, we're not into that. We don't go to tournaments. You know, we're in Australia anyway. But we're casual in that respect. But we still want to play. We want to get on every week, like we do, like a social competition, basically, like the equivalent of a social league. And you've got lots of other games that allow you to do that and that are more welcoming to people who are more, take a slightly more casual approach, or are newcomers. Rocket League is the classic example that I mention a lot. But 2K, again, is moving more towards this. We want, this is going to be the experience you have. This is the way this mode is going to work. It's going to be like the league. And the thing is, I think doing this, it's actually going to drive people away from the league, because people aren't going to be able to play Pro-Am or the Jordan Rec League the way they want. So they're going to actually lose interest in it and not be interested in the league. I think you want as many people... I think you want to make it easier for people to get into those modes and play. And the funny thing is when people foul out or grade out or whatever, you get replaced by an AI player anyway. So there's still AI players in the mode. Yeah. It's just harder to actually get a game. And that's... I thought that maybe we'd be in the minority and that people would just be, oh, get good, join a... You know, join a clan, join a squad or whatever. But a lot of people are saying, no, this is ruining our, you know, we like to get on, and sometimes we'd have three or four, sometimes we'd have five, just like us.
Yeah.
So it's not just us. It's not just us being grumpy old haters, which makes me feel very good, by the way, that it's not just us being grumpy old haters, that, it, you know, there are other people actually feeling the same way. But four, five, six patches in or whatever, it's still not happening, and I'm not sure they're going to do it. And I think it's a huge mistake for them to not to, because it's locking people out of the mode. It's gatekeeping. It's bad enough when we indulge in gatekeeping ourselves within a community, when it's, let alone the developers doing it themselves. I just think it's a really bad approach.
Yeah, I agree. You know, it takes away that accessibility factor. You know, and yeah, it puts users off in a lot of ways. And I know there's an impatient community about it. And I know some YouTubers are very vocal about it. I know, in particular, Agent Double Zero. He's very vocal about it. So it is disappointing that things like this are getting ignored or, again, not communicated. It's like reasons why they made this change or you know, ways around it kind of stuff to, you know, again, just sort of communication to and from the community. Or with the community and engaging, you know, like how Mike Wayne did some of the polls that he did online, you know, sort of seeing what people wanted.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they could have simply done it this way. It's like if we, you know, with the program stuff if we require, teams have five. Are you guys happy with this? Yes or no?
Do you like AIs in the mode? Would you prefer the AIs be replaced by real players? Which is an idea we've been pushing for a couple of years now.
Yeah, or each team can, have maybe one or two sort of credit players AIs with a max level of, say, 75 or 80.
Maybe by getting a better record, you level up and you get a better AI. Whatever. There's ways you could do it.
Yeah.
But I think it does lock people out of the mode. It makes it less accessible, as you said. Yeah, I mean, a poll on Twitter just to get the feedback. Obviously, people are saying it in the Reddit and on social media that they really want it. And again, it makes me feel good that it's not just us, because I would have thought more people may be against the AIs because I have seen people rail against it, but clearly there are people who want to get on and get a game, but because they may only have three or four, or can only guarantee to have three or four at a time, sometimes we'd have five, with the five of us in 2K17, but quite often it would just be three, or, four, but quite often three. And we had some pretty good games just being three or four as well. Yeah. So it just locks people out of the mode. I don't think it really promotes the league as much as they think it might. And this is the thing, as you say, the communication has never been good with 2K. I mean, hell, Ronnie 2K is still employed, isn't he? I mean, that's how much they care about communication and dealing with the community. But
clout chaser.
Yeah, that's one word that we could choose in this situation. We won't go bitter. We won't go down that road. But it is unfortunate that they're doing that, because they are making some other fine improvements in the patch. Are you familiar with the spinning, the wheel spin to get the bonuses?
Yeah, I've seen that.
So that's in the anti-up. They basically could have seen this coming a mile away, but it was really hard to get to the wheel in the first go, because there was just the one wheel and you had to get in the line. So you had to really battle to get next, basically, much like in the playground, to actually get to spin the wheel in the first place. So they've now added it. It's a door off to the side of the anti-up courts where you can just get in there and there's a bunch of wheels to spin. So, I think that was definitely a good idea to do that. The other thing that puzzles me about the whole pro-am gatekeeping thing is that they recognized in my team that they were doing that with the unlocking the auction house, which is, again, I think it's a bad idea, but I guess it's being done to prevent people who are looking to crash the market and do things like that.
Yeah.
So I can understand that. But basically, the requirements originally to unlock the auction house, you had to not only just play online games in the Triple Threat Online and Unlimited, but you had to win games as well, which means that you've got to take on possibly elite opponents if you're new, and just to unlock a basic function of single player, which is the auction house. So that's a bad idea to begin with. But when you throw in that my team also has pay-to-win mechanics, because, again, you can buy VC to buy packs,
yep,
and of course, on PC, you've got hacking as well, it's not the best idea to force people to play online. And, of course, if you don't have a great connection, you're not going to have a good time anyway. So
like switches and stuff like that.
I mean, and even with that, obviously, is an issue as well. But they have actually patched that out so that you just have to play the game. So as long as you endure that online game, you can unlock the auction house. It's not ideal, but it's much better. But again, that's a situation where they've recognized that, oh, this is gatekeeping, this is a ridiculous requirement for a basic function that works for single player as much as anything else in my team. So they changed it, but they haven't changed the Pro-Am and Jordan Rec Center. And so you do have to, if you don't have the five, you can't play Team Pro-Am, basically. You have to go to the Rec Center, which is what we've been doing. And we had a great teammate who was just moving the ball around, and we were sharing with him, and he was doing the right thing, and he could shoot. He definitely knew his player. They were a great player, great teammate. Unfortunately, they only stuck around for one game, which we won. It's a shame they didn't stick around for more. But we had somebody else who, and you want to share with them. You want to share with them because, like I said, we're the four, so they're kind of on the outs anyway because we're the squad, and he. We could see him talking on the mic, but we couldn't hear him. Probably didn't want to hear what he had to say anyway. It probably wasn't pleasant. But he's just driving into the lane, putting up shots in traffic, taking bad threes, dribbling out of bounds, trying to do too much, hogging the ball. And so you end up freezing him out. And he's like, we don't want to do that. You want to Because you know what it's like when people do that to you when you when you're the random online. So you don't want to be that team or that squad. But when you do get someone like that, and yeah, we lost that game. You know, it didn't go well because we were because that player wasn't really supporting the team, and then he stopped defending completely. So
James Harden did.
He made James Harden look like Gary Payton, frankly. That's the problem with if that's the only way that you can get online is to team up with random people, you're not going to have the optimal experience. You know, we know this from experience. So I really think they need to patch it in because it's making what is a very fun thing. Because as much as we've grumbled about Pro-Am when it's gone wrong, the concept, we love the concept, I would have to say. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, you know, it's a good way, especially when you're not playing like basketball anymore. You know, it's a good way to still catch up with your friends and that without having to go meet up anywhere because, you know, you got family responsibilities and
sure.
So it's that social connection element with friends, and especially given, a few of us are, you know, a couple hundred kilometers away from each other or a few thousand kilometers away from each other.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, it's a fun way. I think you may have told me earlier, like a few weeks back, that international players can't play, we can't play with US players.
That still seems to be the case. So ZZ's got the game now and he's leveled up his player and doing really well, but can't get into the game with us because he's on the US server, not the Australasian servers, which I believe are in Japan. Either way, he can't get on the same server as us. So
see, and that's again, that's something that they failed to inform, you know.
Mm-hmm. And private matchmaking is still not working, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So Pro-Am and the Jordan Rec Center definitely could be a lot better than they are now. Playground, I think, is pretty much the same as before. I haven't actually, still being 64 overall because I haven't been grinding enough and I refuse to pay this year so far. I haven't really touched the playground because, it's just... When you're 64 overall, it's very hard to deal with the cheese, basically, and you can't really cheese yourself when you're that. I can pay people to lose to me. You see, agent exposing them. Yeah, that was funny.
And they're waiting, and it's happening in the background. It was like, wow, it's not obvious at all. Is the game still glorified loading screen, like to go from one thing to another, like 2K18 was?
I mean, they've streamlined the neighborhood now that it's basically a square.
Yep.
So it's not as bad as running that dog's leg, you know.
Yep.
Around the corner, and having the playground in the middle, I think, is a really good idea of the neighborhood. I think is a much better way of doing it. Still having to run across to my court, running back and forth to the going to the training, going to pick up things at pick up checks at your at the VC management at your agent's office. You know, that's still a pain. I do like that you can go straight from games to training.
Yep.
So when you finish games, you can just go to training, and basically you can just keep going back and forth. If you want to have a session where you're going back and forth between training and games, practice session and games, you can do that. I think that's a really good option this year. It would be even better if you could also fast travel to Pro-Am Arena or the playground, or immediately load and spawn somewhere like that.
Yep.
That would be the other way of doing it.
Do you have to do the Gatorade gym stuff?
You do. You got to do three. It basically, the boost lasts for a number of games, and then you got to do at least three to get. You do three to restore the Gatorade boost. But it's the same as last year, where again, you can get the My Points, the experience points, by completing it properly, but if you just want to stand at the box, it'll work as well. So there's still people standing around at the box this year.
Any new things in that gym? Like, remember how 2K17 had the vertical?
Yeah, nothing. Exact same gym as last year, unfortunately. Same trophy as well for doing all the stations in one go.
Okay.
There's a lot of stuff that's basically the same as last year. There's Spinelli's on the door, but it's a different Spinelli this year. That's really weird. haircuts are free, of course, as they should have been last year. And there's even the line about it. When you go in there the first time, you're introducing yourself to the barber. It's like, oh, the guy last year was charging people, NBA players, for haircuts. But I'm not going to do that. I'm like, that's a bit self-referential there.
Yeah, but I know his shoes are still 10,000 BC.
Stuff like that is still very expensive. And that's the thing. Because those prices have inflated, the VC inflation hasn't really... The increased VC hasn't really had that much of an impact.
Yep.
And upgrades themselves are still pretty expensive. Badges are a lot easier to grind for. I like what they've done with badges this year.
Okay.
Free throws, you've still got the same situation where you've got to get the free throw badge.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's pretty crap. I wonder if any cases of, what was it, excellent white release or 98%.
98%, yeah. Shooting mechanics are better this year. They're still not as great as I would like. And I've tried the meter up by the head and the meter down by the feet. They say that it's the 2K17 style meter, but it really isn't. It's kind of like that in that it's down by its feet, but it's different to 2K17. So okay. That was, again, a bit misleading that they said that. They could have worded that better, I think, in describing that. But I'm not sure which is better. It's still better to go by the... To look at the animation, you know, to know your animation and to feel the rumble, that's a better way of handling it on free throws and jump shots. So, but it is better as far as the early late releases, and you don't have the nerfed excellent release anymore.
Okay.
So, yeah, I think this year's shooting mechanics are slightly better. I'm finding that less frustration of oh that really should have gone in kind of thing that was really plaguing last year with the good releases. You know, I didn't like that idea. It was, I know what they were going for, but it just, yeah. No, I think it just made things more frustrating last year, certainly for us online, because we kept getting good releases instead of green releases. And like, yeah, well, great. That's got a 5% chance of going in. That's fantastic.
I'm trying to think of anything else.
Well, I should note that with looking at the patch notes, they have done a lot as far as fixing a lot of crashes and hangs, which is really good to see. They have made some other gameplay improvements in one patch 104. Of course, they added the new rule about the shot clock resetting to 14 seconds after offensive rebounds.
Yep.
That's something that I think Live... It's not in Live, is it?
Not from...
I don't think Live's added it. I think Live definitely should, if they can. 2K has, and that's... That is good. They reduced the effectiveness of on-ball steals, which it was really bad online as far as people spamming steal and being able to get away with it. So they have reduced the effectiveness of steals to a good degree, I'd say. Unfortunately, offline, it's resulted in a lot of press steal to foul coming back into the game this year.
Okay. So
it's one of those things, yeah, fix one problem and another one kind of comes back again. And it's been adjustments to shot contest animations and things like that, and some shooting increased the speed at which a defender can move while in the hands-up position. And they've also changed things with My Career Neighborhood. Again, adding the extra daily spin prize wheels was a really good idea. Simplifying the goals for the auction house was definitely welcome. Face scanning, I still can't get to work. It still tells me that I need to follow the instructions and pay more attention more closely, which, considering that the scan tells me everything's fine... is very helpful, I can say. They've fixed some clipping issues with longer hairstyles, some wrong uniforms showing up in various modes, fixed a few things with contract extensions in My League, and some crashes, and also fixed up some of the online My League Online issues as well. So they have definitely been putting in the work with the gameplay. It hasn't really changed that much, the gameplay, in my opinion, since launch, which... You sort of take the good and the bad with that one, because remember in 2K17 they were changing a lot and it was feeling really different patch to patch.
Yep.
It's more like last year where they're not tweaking too much, which means the issues, some issues are still there, but it's not necessarily getting worse.
Yep.
So there's consistency there. So yeah, you know, it's still playing pretty well, to be honest.
Is clipping still an issue, like in terms of players warping through?
Clipping and skating is pretty much like last year. I wouldn't say it's very much better. Wouldn't all that very much all that better, to be honest.
Okay.
That's not very good English. It's very good. Not a lot of improvement there. Skating is yeah, this motion system, they're still working out the kinks of that, in my opinion, because it's they're skating all over the court, like, in some cases, and there's issues where players will be moving along and it's kind of wonky, and then they just sort of skim forward and snap into position. Okay. So there's still weird things like that. Getting sucked into defenders as well, like you'll get the defender in the air on a pump fake, and as you try and run past them, you get sucked back into them, so they still manage to stop you, even though you've got them to commit to leaving their feet. Like, you fake them out in the corner, so there's still that weird thing getting sucked into defenders, but CPU players can just brush off you. So there's still that little bit of lack of balance to the game that's been there in the past, and that's probably the biggest frustration for me, encountering that. I will say that the packs, I'm liking what they're doing with locker codes in my team. I'm liking a lot of the things that they've done this year. They've walked back on some of the things that were really just lacking goodwill last year. They've walked back on somewhat, you know, for now, which I think is very welcome. I mean, how much credit do you give them? But at the same time, well, we asked for it and they delivered, so great. But yeah, it is better than last year, I will say that. But the issues with grinding, it's still a grind in my career. And we still have the issues, of course, with pay-to-win mechanics. You know, that's still setting the competitive balance. So things like that still remain an issue. But, you know, that's where they're making their recurrent revenue, is it not? So,
that's true.
You know, I'm not sure how much better that's going to get. I mean, this may just be the way it goes for online play in 2K from here on out, unless there's a real dramatic shift, unless Live really starts cutting into the audience, they're probably not, when they start losing revenues, there's probably not going to be incentive to change, unfortunately, unless they also find a way to appease players while also continuing to make that money. But it's 2K19 is definitely a good game. You know, people are saying it's the worst one yet. No, there's definitely some things I like better than 2K18, but some hangover issues as well.
All right. Well, yeah, like I said, at the moment, it'll be most likely in the new year after I get back from Victoria that I'll consider getting it.
It will be fun if we can run some pro-am, 5-on-5. It'll be fun. We may even get a logo again at some point. But as far as I know, they don't really give you any information about when you unlock that logo. So again, another legacy issue there. But The first couple of patches were quite substantial, so I don't want to sell them short on that, and I know they are working hard on it, but the big thing is for what we do with our gaming squad, not being able to start a game with less than 5 players, and the fact that they still haven't changed that, I'm not very confident they will, unfortunately, with, you know, after this many patches and this far into the year, I think that's the way they're going to do it this year. Yeah, I would think it's something they could patch, so I'm guessing they just don't want to.
That's a bit disappointing. Like, I mean, hopefully, like, we'll see what happens after the new year. You know, if they're able to actually get, you know, some of those must-needed improvements and tweaks and stuff fixed. Hopefully something they just need more time with.
Here's hoping, yeah.
Yeah, because if not, then, yeah, it's rather, we'll say poor form in that sort of sense.
Yeah. I mean, 2K obviously does so many great things, so it is a shame that they do make these decisions, these puzzling decisions, and we can only speculate on the reasons. And I'm guessing it's to make it more like the 2K League, where you've got 5 players a side, but it's more feasible when you've got people there and paying them to play, you know, to get 5 players, than it is for people like us to necessarily always have 5, especially when, you know, I guess if you had the game, we would have had 5, we actually would have had 6 with ZZ, but, you know, that's the case with the servers, so it's limiting, but it is what it is. And, you know, my league is still the best franchise mode we've had. Pretty much any game, I would say, certainly basketball games at the moment. Yeah. So between that and my team, and my career itself, of course, the single player experience is quite good this year. So I'm not regretting it. I'm not regretting spending time with it. It's just a matter of juggling time with it. NBA Live 19, and of course NBA 2K Playgrounds 2 now, because that has come out, and it's and I know, as you said, that you haven't picked that one up yet. I picked that up. I didn't pre-order this time. I just picked it up I think a day or two after it came out. I was looking for all kinds of deals and I couldn't find one, unfortunately.
Yeah, I try and look for that, and if I know I've had the money for it at launch and stuff, so.
But I did pick that up, and you know, there's a lot of stuff they've done that's better than last year. Gameplay does feel pretty good, but rebounding and blocking is still kind of clunky, which is a shame. It's still not on par with the best NBA Jam or NBA Street games, I will have to say. I do think partnering with 2K has been beneficial as far as getting Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar has just been added in the latest update as well. Yep. So the other thing you can do this year is if you you can with the packs, you actually have to buy them this year with in-game currency that you earn. And you can get gold, silver, and bronze packs with different odds, so it's a little bit more like my team, which, you know, it's an alright approach to it. You also get the golden bucks, which are like the VC, and that you earn, you get them in packs.
Yep.
You get little bits of them in packs and for doing things, but not as much as the baller bucks. And you can also buy them, but they are for cosmetic items, so. Okay. You don't necessarily... You can just ignore them, basically. Which is what I've been doing, because I really don't care to dress up my players, you know. It's like, what's that saying? This is not a Barbie game?
Yep, yeah.
Yeah, interesting. And this is not a Barbie game either. But it is, again, a bit grindy to unlock players with that in mind. It felt like I was getting packs a lot quicker with last year's system. But XP, you do get XP a little bit quicker, which is nice. Of course, you've got to grind up every player. The players actually start out with very low ratings, and you actually have to... Whereas last year, you had to grind them up to get to gold level and get all the moves. This year, you've got to get them up to diamond level to get maximum ratings. So I'm in two minds about that approach, because it means they're very underpowered at the start, but at the same time, it gives you something to do. So, yeah, I've got a mixed of feelings about that one. But the other thing you can do with the baller bucks is you can actually unlock players directly instead of taking a chance in packs. Okay. So that's more expensive to do. You really have to save up the currency for that. But for example, if you wanted to grind for that and just buy Michael Jordan outright, you can do that.
Yep.
Rather than just wait to draw him in a pack. So I do like that approach, that if you just want to get certain players, you can do that a little bit quicker. I think that's a decent idea. Season mode is, definitely better than tournaments last year. I haven't given online a try yet. The whole thing with grinding and microtransactions is very 2K, to be honest, which I feared, but it's not as bad as I feared. So, yay, I guess. My early impressions of it is that it's fun, it's fine, I think I would say it's an improvement on the first one, not as much as I was perhaps hoping it would be, and of course this year it comes at a more expensive price tag as well, so the value for money is a bit better with season mode and everything, but it may be this generation's Jam and Street, but it's not on that level. I still think nothing has beaten a Jam on Fire Edition yet for me.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I don't understand. Yeah, I mean, I've thought about it. I even actually remember watching one of Doug's streams on Facebook when he was playing Fortnite, and he did mention about Playgrounds 2. I did have the volume down low, so I didn't hear exactly, because I was working or I was playing the game, like playing a game myself at the time. But yeah, he did mention that he wasn't all that, he kind of enjoyed Playgrounds 1 more than he had with 2 from his experience with it.
That's interesting, but I guess there's more expectations this time.
Yeah.
Because it's a sequel, you're expecting it to be better.
And again, I think it's some of the things that they decided to do with the game that he didn't like. And so, yeah, that was a surprise, because I know he was in one, like he was one of the created players.
Oh yeah, and also they've got to be unlocked this year. You don't get them free. Yeah. Last year the Playgrounders came through for free,
yeah,
if you recall. Not this year, unfortunately. So it's the grindy aspect is still there, unfortunately, and it's very reminiscent of my team and my career in 2K. Yeah, I can definitely see the 2K influence there, and it may have got them. It was worth it, I think, to get the servers and Jordan and Kobe and Kareem, but the influence of 2K, yeah, it's got some 2K stink on it as well. It's basically what I'm trying to get it in the nicest possible way.
Basically, the deal with the devil element.
It's, yeah, I mean, we've talked about how a lot of studios, you know, to be completely fair, a lot of studios that ended up getting swallowed by EA, you know, to get shut down, or things didn't go so well after EA acquired them, you know, even if they continued on making games. There's always that issue when the bigger entity absorbs the smaller one. And I'm not anti-corporation, I'm not anti-big business or anything like that. But in gaming, we've seen, you know, in a lot of technology companies, particularly video game development, we do see this happen, and people were concerned. And, you know, the whole thing in the first one and all the comments, you know, we don't want to do DLC, we don't want to do microtransactions and everything, and now you've got the sequel and it's got microtransactions right off the bat and everything. Like, yeah, you know, you don't want to use words like sellout, but kind of, you know.
Yeah.
It's hard. I don't want to be negative because I do think they've put out a very solid product. It's a smart business decision. I think it's benefited the game, again, getting those extra players, but man, it's also taken on some of the lesser aspects of 2K games that, yeah, I'm a bit disappointed to see that. It's solid. I think it should be better though. Basically, is what my early impressions of 2K Playgrounds 2. It is fun. It is enjoyable. If you like the first one at all, I think people will like this one as well. I will spend more time with it. Definitely, the whole thing about having to grind up every single player in the league when you've got about 300 players, you know, yeah, it's just a lot to do to unlock everything and to grind up all the players to do. If you're a completionist and you love a challenge of just completing a game to 100%, there's a lot to do and a lot to sink your teeth into. But yeah, very, very grindy, and I think we've had enough of that. That's the problem.
Yeah, I can understand, and I definitely agree. I'm over that element of it, you know. Bite size and fun, and you know, and not.
But you don't want to have to work to have fun, basically.
You want to enjoy your time. You sort of want to have that sort of zone out, just sort of take your mind off things, or not feel like you're doing a chore in a sense. And that's the frustrating things with some of the way some of the games are going these days, especially from, you know, big publishers like Activision, even EA, 2K, Ubisoft. You know, the fact that...
Oh, look what's happened with GTA Online, with Rockstar North, you know. A lot of that's gone to the microtransactions and such, the shark cards and whatnot.
Yeah, and that's my concern too with what Red Dead 2 and all that stuff, and it's like... How much of an influence is the online element going to be? How much of a grind aspect is it going to be? And that's what's put me off in terms of that sort of stuff. Ubisoft, like with, what was it, Odyssey, or I think the new one, where you can pay to basically not play the game. Like you sort of able to level up or skip certain things in that sort of sense, and it's like, well, that's pretty stupid. You know, if you want people to play your game, then enjoy it.
And that is the whole thing about leveling up. If it's to the point where you have to pay to have fun, or even if you don't have to pay, but simply the fact of unlocking everything and playing through and leveling up your player is just not enjoyable. It has to be not a quick journey, not an easy journey, because we still want to be challenged by the game. We still want to feel fulfillment of having beaten the game. But if it goes too much, and that's why I have a very love-hate relationship with unlockables in games in general. Like a lot of the wrestling games over the years that I've played, the WWE, WWF games, a lot of them take a lot of stuff to unlock everything, to the point where by the time you've unlocked everything, you're kind of over the game and sick of it.
Yeah.
I think whatever genre it is, you've got to, it has to progress at a rate that when you finally do get the cool stuff, you're still interested enough and not sick of the game to actually want to use it. Otherwise, it's just, it shouldn't just be a bragging rights reward. It should be something that, okay, I've gone through a lot of the game, now I've got this really cool thing that I can use for the game.
Yeah.
Like secret characters or whatever. But if it gets to the point where you've just done everything, you're like, well, I suppose then you can put the game down and come back to it and have everything unlocked and then it's there. But I do think the progression needs to be at a way that just doesn't turn you off and isn't so grindy, but it's becoming more
it,
like that.
It just feels repetitive.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's a bit of that in 2K Playgrounds too, definitely, which is a bit disappointing to see. But I do think that the modes are good. I think the gameplay is still fairly solid. It's just hasn't really improved that much from last year as far as shooting mechanics. They've nerfed 3-point shooting, which I guess is good for online, but offline it feels like players are very underpowered shooting the ball. And I think that was the big thing that really bothered me about the original, and this one as well, compared to a game like Jam or Street, is that a Jam especially, yes, players would still have different attributes, different ratings, different skills and abilities. So, you, for example, in the original, shooting with Mark Price, John Stockton, is a lot easier than trying to hit a three with Charles Oakley or Patrick Ewing, you know, someone like that, yep. Or Sean Bradley. But you still could hit threes with the centers, you know, and you could still dunk with the smaller players as well. Whereas, I mean, if you had a rating of 0, 1, or 2, or even, you know, 3 or 4 in the original Jam Tournament Edition, you could still do things. Whereas anything that's under basically 60, 70 in, because they've gone to double figure ratings this year,
yep.
for Playgrounds 2. Anything that's really under 50 is just not capable enough. Yep. And I don't think that's a very fun arcade experience. It still feels like they've gone a little bit too sim in some cases,
which
is very strange for an arcade game to do. Yeah, I feel they've gone realistic in the wrong places, and it's trying to balance it out, and I can see what they're going for, but I think with the arcade games, you need to push some of that reality aside. That's the appeal of arcade basketball games like Jam and Street and Playgrounds. So I think there's still some adjustments they need to make there, but maybe 3-point shooting was too good last year, so they've overcorrected a little bit. That happens sometimes. I still think dunks miss way too often as well, which again defeats the purpose of having these games where you can fly through the air and somersault and everything. Like, but yeah, that's nice and everything, but if it ends in a missed dunk 5 times out of 10, you know, that's less exciting, because I'm like, well, okay, yeah, so he's somersaulting, but I know how this is going to end. Not well. Yeah.
It's going to be like a Chris Anderson dunk contest attempt.
Very much so. So there's still some things with the gameplay that I think could be better. It's a bit of a letdown in that respect. I guess I was hoping it would be even more improved than it is, but it is solid. And I think if people enjoyed last year's game, they'll enjoy this one just fine. But I do think people still need to temper their expectations, because it's still, unfortunately, a poor man's Jam. You know, and it sounds harsh to say, but the Jam games, the best Jam games have been so good, defined the arcade basketball genre, you know, I think it's fair to say. So, yeah, if you can't meet that, it is disappointing. And I would love to see EA throw their hat into the ring with a new Jam. If they updated on Fire Edition with new rosters and maybe a few new unlockables and everything, I think that game would just do fantastic on this current generation.
Yeah, I'd love to see that sort of little head-to-head, eh?
Yeah, yeah. Especially with now that we've got getting Live back and 2K, you know, with them going head to head in the sim department, if they could also bring back Jam and go against Playgrounds,
yeah,
I think that would be, and competition. You know, that's what we've been saying, is the competition has been so important in this particular genre. You know, how it's been missing and how it's led to things going awry for both companies in different ways. It's it's important. So I'd love to see it happen. Make it happen. Bring back Tim Kitzrow.
Yeah, I reckon that'd be an interesting way to start off. I mean, be, you know, especially if they were to introduce, say, both games in that for, you know, the potentially upcoming next gen. That'd be cool. You know, give them time to develop and get the game where they want it to be and build the systems and stuff. So, that'd be fun.
Because this will be the first generation since the 16-bit era that we don't have a Jam game of some description.
Yeah.
A game that has the NBA Jam moniker in it, at any rate. We do, of course, have a Jam-like game in Playgrounds 2, Playgrounds 1, but yeah, I'd love to see EA make use of that that license. I thought they would, you know. I thought they were going to make more use of that rather than just having the two games, but you know, I mean, obviously with everything that's happened with Live, you know, it's just a matter of perhaps having the manpower and the funding, but perhaps with this new studio, you know, who knows?
Yeah, well, I'm hoping that they could do it, even if it's just a small studio. I mean, yeah, it just makes sense just to have that sort of market in that sort of sense. Even if they bundled it into Live, you know.
Well, that's the other thing they could do. I mean, it would probably help sell Live as well as much as anything else, like it was supposed to do with NBA Elite 11. You know, that was the whole reason why that was the stripped down version was going to be bundled with that on PS3 and Xbox 360. Of course, that ended up being a standalone release for obvious reasons. But no, I'd love to see it. Absolutely. Speaking of bringing things back, Ben, I've been working on an NBA 2K11 roster. It's been an interesting process. I wrote about it in Monday Tip-Off, comparing some of the process to doing the updates for NBA Live. And I still want to do a few things for NBA Live as well. Want to get some updates out before the end of the year, before we get into too far into the new season. Basically finishing off the 2018 rosters, finalizing them, and then moving on to the 2019 rosters. It's a lot of players to create from the 2011 season. You don't realize how many players, like how much turnover there is in the league, because a lot of that old generation, your Antonio McDyess, Kobe Bryant, you know, all the players that came along in the mid to late 90s, a lot of them are retiring. In fact, there's only, what, with Jason Terry still a free agent, there's, what, two players left that have been in the that started playing in the 90s? Dirk and Vince. Dirk and Vince, basically, in their 21st year in the league. So there's been a lot of turnover since then and a lot of players to create. I went through and created a lot of the key players first, basically, and went through and did all their ratings and did all their tendencies and was really paying attention to the animations and everything. And I realized how long it was going to take, because back when I was doing the NBA Live roster updates, players had 20 ratings, basically.
Yeah.
And yeah, now they've got a lot more ratings and tendencies and everything to do. So what I've done is, because you can choose different templates when you create a player in NBA 2K11 and other 2K games, I got all the important players done, and I've added some faces to them, and that's a whole different thing, editing with Red MC and with Red Editor 2, actually, for NBA 2K11, and signing the faces and changing all the names and everything, the file names, to make them fit. So that's been a learning experience, but so far it's starting to come together. But what I've done is basically, after I created a bunch of the players and got them right, like, okay, I'm just going to fill out the rosters and then fix them up later. So I've got about a third of the league done at the moment, and I've just gone through and created them and given them the right skin color and right bio data and things like that, height, weight, and I've given the right position and the basic templates so I can just adjust the ratings and the tendencies later and just go through, and it's going to be much quicker. And it is definitely a lot quicker, but even so, because it used to take about maybe 5 minutes to create a player in Live per player, and now it can take, if you're doing it detailed, if you're doing a detailed creation, it can take 10 to 15, basically, on a player.
Cool.
So if I'm just going through and creating everyone and not spending the time on the tendencies, I will, of course, fix this up afterwards. But it's just a matter of putting all the rosters together and getting it complete first and then fixing it all up. It's going a lot quicker doing that. But, yeah, man, there's a lot of plays to create, basically. it's actually, because I'm also doing the same thing, I'm looking to do Live 2005 to 08 as well.
Yeah.
The funny thing is, it's actually less players to create there. Not only will it be quicker because less ratings to handle and tendencies and everything, but because I've got a 2013 season roster update to work on, I've actually got some of the players already in the game as of the 2013 season, thanks to my previous roster updates that I stopped doing years ago. So, and that, and the Ultimate Jordan roster that I'm still working on. So it's been fun to get back into some modding. And the other thing that I really noticed is, in recent years, not doing the roster updates, I've become less familiar with NBA rosters. That is, like, back in the day when I was doing the rosters, I could tell you, like, who's the 12th man on the worst team in the league? And I could tell you, because I was working on the roster updates. But I may not necessarily have that knowledge. I know the big names, of course, these days, but I've kind of fallen out of that hardcore knowing pretty much everyone who's on the roster and every roster in the league, because I haven't been doing the rosters, the roster updates, where you actually have to, you're looking at the rosters and you're creating them and you're working on their ratings and everything. I used to know all that stuff, and I haven't, and I've kind of missed it, so it's been nice to reconnect with that. And I do hope to have the roster out fairly soon, as quickly as I can, and make it as detailed as possible, but it's been fun. And actually, one of the most satisfying things is I did, when I created Joe Ingles, I did make him, obviously made him left-handed, and I found the perfect animation for him, shooting animation. Yeah. It looks pretty much like his. I was pretty happy with that. So nice. It's no, but it has been refreshing to put myself into a modding project again. And I haven't done anything really with 2K. So, and 2K11 is a game that a lot of people like. It's very popular, obviously. Unfortunately, a lot of mods that we've had for it have gone missing over the years. But it seemed like a good one to just to, you know. I always like bringing the old games up to date. Sometimes I've actually enjoyed working on the older games more than the current ones, because the current ones get official updates and everything, especially this past couple of generations. But yeah, it's been fun so far.
Yeah, I can understand that. I suppose the only thing I've done closest to modding is recreate the one uniforms in Live 19 and potentially look at getting them made up.
That is true. That is right, yeah.
That's the closest thing
I've done. Oh, no, you've made some one courts, though, as well.
Oh, yeah, true. Yeah. I have four, but one's more just, you know, when new things come along, just sort of play around and tinker with and all that stuff. So, but yeah, I'm thinking about getting the one jerseys that I've actually... So I wouldn't mind seeing how they turned out in real life and that, so... You know, if I ever got the opportunity to go back over, I'd wear it while I was over there just to...
Oh, definitely,
just
yeah.
Just to throw it... Just to, you know, make him go, what the...
you have to get the sleeves as well, though.
Yeah, that's true.
Shooting sleeves made up. Absolutely.
I do have a couple of shooting sleeves, so it might be just a matter of sort of, I guess, getting the one printed on it as such.
Could work, yeah. So I will keep everyone up to date on what I'm doing there. You can check out the thread I've got, the topic I have in the NBA 2K11 modding section of the forum. We have actually redone the forum. I've changed the layout a little bit. I've archived the older games. You can click straight there. It's in the top section, older games. Basically, leaving all those old sections open, but archiving them off the front page so it's not as cluttered. It's not as... not a big long index like it was, because since we started covering both Live and 2K in particular, the older archive sections were getting really long on the front page. So I've fixed that up a bit. I've changed that, and that seems to be fairly popular. People are still finding out where to go. So that's always my fear, Ben, when we redo the forum layout, is that people say that we did get a couple of questions, you know, asking if there was a database issue or something going on at the time. I said no, there's a check out the sticky announcement. It's meant to be like that. We've changed the format, but it's working out for us so far. But I will of course keep people up to date on that with bulletins on the main page and in the forum. I may do a beta release as well, a demo release, just to let people try it out as well. I'll see how I'm going with that and some of the other projects I'm working on. But yeah, just thought I'd touch on that. It's been interesting to really see how it's different to the live patching. A lot of it's the same, especially working with a database, but there's new values to learn, new ways of assigning the face files and everything. And it's but yeah, the big thing is just realizing just how long it takes to create all those missing players, because there's just so many more player attributes to work with.
Yeah, it's part of the reason why I haven't dipped too much into any 2K modding and stuff. Just learning new things, and it's like I haven't got the time at the moment.
Yeah, no, that is the thing. I mean, I think we've both put in our years of modding, so it's really a case of feeling really wanting to do something with it. And the roster's felt like the easiest thing to do, and I've got a lot of people have contributed the art already, so that makes it a lot easier, to be honest. not having to do that stuff as well. So before we wrap up, thought we'd talk a little bit about the real NBA. The real NBA season tipped off, of course, mid-October, with, right around the release of 2K Playgrounds and somebody's birthday, of course. We're just under 10 games into the season with most teams, and there's been some interesting results so far. The Rockets picked up Carmelo Anthony in the offseason, and it has not panned out, Ben.
No, it's the curse is real.
It certainly seems to be that way. They're 1-5 through their first six games. Lost the last four in a row. They're losing by an average of 10.5 points a game. They're right there with Phoenix, who are 1-6, Cleveland, who are 1-7, and Washington, 1-6. They're off to a slow start as well compared to more surprising teams. Denver racing out 7-1. They were one of the last undefeated teams in the league, the Nuggets. The Bucks were the last, and they just fell today. Fell to 7-1, but that's still one of the top records in the league with the Nuggets, Warriors, and the Raptors, who are doing quite well with Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah.
But Carmelo Anthony not really working out in Houston. Minnesota, that's where the big news is at the moment. On the less positive side of things, the negative side of things, there's Jimmy Butler, who doesn't not want to be there.
No, he made it very clear just before season starts that he wants to be traded, and lashed out at a few of his teammates. So, bit of a surprise there. It sort of came out of nowhere.
He's definitely, I think a lot of people's opinions have changed about him, even if they agree with what he's saying about Karl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins. People not really supporting the way he's handling his business, going to the media about it, having the Rachel Nichols interview set up, and of course now he's basically said he's not going to play for them again and is just going to sit out until they trade him. That's obviously going to force their hand, the Timberwolves, but are people going to really want to give up valuable assets for him when he's acting like this? He's not really looking like a franchise guy or much of a leader at the moment.
I think there'll still be a few teams that buy it, and it could be a simple matter of different environment. It'd be good for him in that sort of sense. It is not a good look when you sort of go about it so publicly and all that, and I suppose in a destructive manner in ways as well.
Certainly, yeah. And, they did have a deal with the Heat, and then Tom Thibodeau tried to get more and basically got hung up on by Pat Riley.
Yeah, so, you don't mess with Pat Riley. Like he's been around the game for a long time. He's not a rookie who will just
No. So that was a miscalculation on Tibbs' part there.
Yeah, so, it's like you don't screw him; he'll screw you.
That's right. So that didn't work out, and the Heat were, I forget who they were offering, but it was a pretty decent.
I think it was Josh Richardson.
Some draft picks.
Yeah.
Future draft picks. The Rockets were supposedly offering four number ones for him.
That's crazy stupid.
Especially since he's a free agent, so he could just walk. That would be... that's the big thing, is not only that he's impending free agency is the big concern. I'm quite happy for the Bulls to not look for a reunion there. We've already got Jabari Parker to a ridiculous contract. Thank you very much.
LaVine.
LaVine's actually been playing well, though. He was leading the league in scoring, coming out of the gate for a while there. Some big scoring games, not so much. It's been surpassed by the likes of Klay Thompson, and he's breaking the record for threes again. So I think it's just going to be for the next few years, Klay Thompson and Stephen Curry just trading off for that record.
Yeah, they're just going to... You take it this year. You take it this year.
And the thing is, if the Bulls had actually been putting up a fight to the point where he actually played more minutes... How many threes he could have gotten? He might have hit 20. He might have hit 23s.
Is it fair to say that the Bulls were playing Matador, defense?
Yeah, defense it is one of the worst in the league, and it seems only appropriate. A lot of Ole going on right there. It's just waving on through, absolutely. I mean, defense is down this year as they artificially boost the scoring. And Adam Silver is... celebrating that, and I'm grumbling about how I think he's not half the commissioner that David Stern was, or Adam Stern, if you like, since I'm mixing and matching the names there. Bulls are doing pretty much as expected. Your Heat, well, they're in the top, you know, early on. They're in the top eight at 3-4. The East is not doing particularly well this year, but it's, yeah, at least they didn't trade for Butler, I suppose.
Yeah, well, I mean, disappointed with the Winslow. I was hoping that they'd get rid of Winslow.
You want Jabari Parker? He's not untouchable.
No. I mean, I'd probably prefer Butler over Parker, but yeah. Right. I mean, I'd definitely trade Winslow.
On a more positive note, in Minnesota, of course, Derrick Rose with the comeback performance of the decade, maybe. They've always talked about him, whether he'd ever recapture that MVP form, and whether he'd ever be the explosiveness and you know, a quality player again. And he's bounced around a little bit since since getting traded to New York a couple of years ago. He's continued to go, you know, rehab various injuries, and he's had multiple surgeries, as we all know. But he all of a sudden gets the start the other night against the Jazz for the Timberwolves, and breaks out 50 points, a career high. And who saw that coming after all the setbacks he's had? It was quite cool. Again, as somebody who, I mean, he was my favorite player, my favorite active player for quite a while there with the Bulls. It's it's cool to see him actually have that performance. I mean, it's always fun to see an unexpected 50-point game from anyone. And yeah. It seems the Timberwolves, it's something about the Timberwolves, because Corey Brewer had one, Mo Williams had one. And now Rose has had the career-high 50 points and the game-winning block as well, the game-preserving block. So what a performance, basically. And it was very cool to see, after all that he's gone through and all the jokes he's endured and the surgeries, obviously, that he actually comes through and has this performance that I don't think anyone ever thought they'd see from him again.
Yeah, I just could see. This is not to be, like, a joke, but he has had that luck where, you know, for instance, two press conferences right before the season starts where he has said something, and within the space of 48 hours, you know, he's been injured again. And, you know, will he have that kind of luck again, you know, with something like this? So that, you know, if he can survive at least 48 to 72 hours without it getting injured.
Yeah,
fingers crossed, you know. I was kind of actually considering picking up my fantasy league team just for, I kind of wish I did, because I would have had him for that game. So I was like, damn it. But I think someone else snapped him up. So I was a bit disappointed that I didn't get him for that game. But
both he and Clay Thompson have a pink, well, they have diamond cards in my team celebrating those performances. If you are lucky enough to snag them out there, basketball gamers. Some really big performances early on in the season. Curry hitting the 12 threes through three quarters, scoring the 51 points in three quarters. There's just been some ridiculous scoring so far, and I don't want to take away from today's players or anything, and because they're playing within the rules, they're hitting the shots, and that is the thing. But I do feel that they're artificially increasing the scoring at the moment, and the defense seems really lacking, weak inside. I'm hoping it evens out a little bit, because there's just been some ridiculous amount of fouls and touch fouls compared to previous years.
I had a free week of league pass and that, so I watched, you know, the games, and I admit it was a lazy man's game. It was just stand behind the 3-point line and shoot. I'm like, you know, what's the point of even having a bloody key? You know, what's the incentive? So, I don't know.
It's becoming like the All-Star game, which is not, which is unfortunate. And I hope it's just an early season thing. And I've enjoyed some games, you know, watching some games this season so far. So I'm not going to, you know, completely crap on the league or anything. But at the same time, I would like to see a bit more defense, a bit more physicality, because it's, I mean, scoring feats don't mean as much when the defense can't really do anything, because it's limited. They're limited by the rules and the foul calls.
But yeah.
Like, it's when there's no resistance, when you can't really put up resistance because of the rules and the way the game is being called, it's like the All-Star game. Well, if everyone's standing back and letting you do layup lines and 360 dunks because everyone's just getting out of the way for you, exciting stuff that looks boring, and there's been a lot of 120, 140 point games so far, and it just feels a little bit forced and artificial because of the rule changes. And I'd like to see a few more defensive chess matches. I'd like to see the defense be able to put a body on someone. I miss that kind of basketball.
How often do you see the Sacramento Kings score 146 points?
146 points, yeah. I was just looking at that on the scoreboard right now. That's ridiculous. 132 by the Blazers today, 132-119. On the plus side, those early basketball games look very realistic now, because it was very hard to get the realistic scores back in the day because there was too much scoring, but now now they look very sim indeed, actually. It's early days. Hopefully we have a good season, but we've got some interesting storylines, certainly with Butler, seeing where he goes. I can't imagine he stays in Minnesota, not with all the shenanigans.
No, I think it wouldn't surprise me if he was gone within the next week or two. I think there'll be some phone calls starting up again. Maybe Tibbs will, cave in and not over demand. Like, basically, expect to basically get five players for the price of one, in that sort of sense. So, yeah.
Westbrook is going for another triple double this year. He's got 20, averaging about 26 points, 8.2 assists, and how many ones? 9.6 rebounds. So Westbrook is, if you can get those assists up, he might just have a third straight year of averaging a triple double.
Yeah, I got him on my fantasy league. He was my first pick. Yeah. Because we were joking with my mates in the draft, because he was expected to miss a few games. It's like, even if he missed 20 games, and he's still got 60, potential triple-double games and all that stuff, it's still worth that, taking that gamble in the first as your first pick.
For the security of it, for the that's a fantasy, absolutely. Well, he's back in the lineup now and averaging, playing 33 minutes a game and getting towards that triple-double. He actually only played 34 minutes a game when he averaged that first triple-double that first year, which is insane.
Yeah.
To put that in perspective, when Oscar Robertson did it, he played 44 minutes a game. So, says a lot about then, says a lot about now, says a lot about the 80s and 90s, who knows? But in any case, there are some big numbers at the moment, and hopefully some more good basketball to play. Obviously, a lot of interesting things going on around the league. LeBron with the Lakers, they're off to a bit of a slow start, but early days, and they are doing better than the Rockets. So
it's actually funny, the last year's Lakers had a better start than this year's Lakers to the season.
Yeah.
In terms of wins, so.
Never know how it goes in the early going. I remember back in the 2005 season, the Jazz won the first five games and had the best record in the league and then didn't make the playoffs, so. Anything can happen.
Yeah, that's for sure.
But that has brought us to the end of episode number 264 of the NLSC podcast. As we said at the top of the show, we are, once again, happy to be back on the air. We may be tweaking the format of the show here and there. Hopefully you enjoyed hearing us get back on and talk about our favorite subject, one of our favorite subjects, that being basketball video games, of course. If you did enjoy the show, we encourage you to subscribe on iTunes. You can also find us on the Stitcher app and other pod-catching apps. Just search for NLC Podcast. That's where you'll find us. Look for our logo. That should be us. Or, of course, you can keep streaming it on the NLC itself, as long as you're tuning in and enjoying the shows, which should be back to being weekly as much as we possibly can. That is the main thing. You can also connect with us on social media. We're on Twitter, @TheNLSC. We're on Facebook, facebook.com/TheNLSC. We're on Instagram, NLSC Basketball. And of course, the NLSC itself, NBA-Live.com, is where we post all our content, where we have our modding community, our forums. So be sure to keep it locked for all your basketball gaming needs. But that will do it for episode number 264 of the NLSC Podcast. Until next time, I'm Andrew.
I'm Arcane.
And remember, no one likes a ball hog in the playground, so get an assist once in a while.